In our study so far of the Gospel of John, I would remind you in verse 14, and the Word that was with God and always is God, God the Son, the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we share together, when we did that in verse 14, He was made flesh and blood. You don't want to think of a body, you want to think of a you. Just put your hand on your own heart, hand to hand. God gave a body to Himself in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. He gave flesh and blood. Because that's what we live in, flesh and blood. We've got to be saved in flesh and blood. He put on flesh and blood, literally flesh and blood, perfect humanity for us, so that He could go to the cross. And when He did that, He showed for His purpose was to show the glory as of the only begotten, the unique, one of a kind, special Son of God. He's the Word became flesh is so special. For God to put on humanity is so uniquely special. Only the only begotten of the God, but begotten of God, of the Father. The Father is the source. He's the source. He's the one that made it happen. God sent His Son, and God sent His Son to become flesh and blood, to demonstrate something to angels, good and bad, and He's going to use humans to do so. And thus, as we read in verse 14, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, is full of grace and truth. He's full of it, loaded to the brim. And when you go down to verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. But grace, Moses is the source. Where did the law? How did the law arrive? Moses at Mount Sinai brought it down. How does grace and truth become publicized, real, personified? How does it become real to us? The Lord Jesus Christ is the source. Grace and truth arrives in the person of Jesus Christ, the same as the law arrived in the person by way of Moses. And thus, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. He is the source of grace and truth. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember now, invert the word truth, just we're looking at that word, the word truth, reality, that which is revealed, manifested, the inner appearance that matches the outer appearance. The outer appearance perfectly matches the inner appearance. The essence, the nature of something displays itself, gives itself an appearance of reality. The inside shows itself on the outside, very real. And we did that simply easy to see with a pencil. You would not know what's inside. There's a piece of lead inside the pencil. And when the pencil is sharpened, the lead shows itself. The lead reveals its truth. The lead is true. Because if you go all the way through the pencil, you'll find the same lead. That which shows on the outside is on the inside. Truth, reality, rightness. That which is as it should be, not false, not concealed, very public. The obvious is made obvious. Truth. Now, having said that, over to the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. And follow along and see if we can't do this to get it. You know, Chapter 14, verse 6, our Lord will tell us in the upper room, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth. There's your word. I am the life. No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way to get to God the Father, except through the Word become flesh, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, having said that, the way, the truth, and the life, and he says that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to say it again to a Gentile who's very much involved in the world of Rome, in the Gentile world of Rome. Go with me, please, John 18. In John 18, picking up, remember, he's about to be crucified, and Pontius Pilate, very prominent leader in Jerusalem, etc. And Pontius Pilate can call the shots. He can override the Jews want to crucify him. And he can override that with one statement, and it would be all over. Now, Pilate, speak to us. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, and that's why Pontius Pilate will put on top of the cross, King of the Jews in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So there's no question. King of the Jews. Verse 37. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, purpose, was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should what? Bear witness, testimony unto the truth. My assignment is to help the world know the truth. I am the truth, a person. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my word. I have a hunger and thirsting after righteousness, a desire to know the truth. We did it in Sunday school. Of all the things that we're here for, Sunday school from young to old, I want to know the truth. Otherwise, I live in error. I live in ignorance, as you'll see. Thus, in 38, Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? In the light of all the gods, in the light of all the religions, in the light of all the philosophies, in the light of everything, everywhere, of all people say, think, and do, and change, and have going for them one way or the other, what on earth is the truth anyway? Who would know the truth? Open the phone book, and there's open the phone book in a big city, and there's hundreds and sometimes thousands. In L.A., there was 1,000. In churches, religions. Now, if you look and turn the pages, what is the truth? Wouldn't you want to say that? They can't all be right. They all contradict each other. They can't be right. What on earth is the truth? And of all the things you and I need to know, it's the truth. Because after all, hang on, let me get to that. Pilate said, What is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. There's nothing he is guilty of. Now, having said that, that's Pontius Pilate, a Gentile. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And Pilate said, what is the truth? And Jesus said, I am the truth. And Pilate said, oh, who could ever know the truth with all the different things? Over, if you would, to John 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, please. And in verse 31. John 8 and 31. I'll even read verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue, keep on stay abiding, the word continue to abide, rest in, if you keep on continuing, abiding in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You are a disciple genuinely, genuinely. Verse 32, and when you are a genuine disciple, a true believer, believers need to be believing. Verse 32, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free. Set you free from all that is in error, all that is not right. The truth will set you free from ignorance. Now, having said that, now what did they do? Going down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 32. Verse 36. I, the truth, I, a person, am the truth. The Son shall set you free. Truth will set you free. The Son will set you free. I'm the truth. The same. I set you free. I set you free. I am the truth. Now, having said that, what do they do? Here's the Jew. We looked at a Gentile and the Gentiles in general. Now the Jews, in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And this did not Abraham. He didn't. I told God spoke to Abraham, etc. Abraham didn't try to kill God, etc. In the light of that. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. He was in the truth as Lucifer, son of the morning. He decided to abandon the truth and say that he was the truth. He is truth. No, God is truth. And Lucifer said, I am truth. I'm the truth. What I think is true. Not what God thinks and who God is. What I think is truth. And Lucifer, son of the morning, fell, became the devil. And thus, verse 44, you are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, not a drop of reality. He is phony baloney. He's phony, not real. The world system, I shared it with you, you know that. The world system will never tell you the truth. It'll give you a whole lot of things to think about and talk about, and we can have science and all kinds of laws, all kinds of wonderful truth to be able to go and astronaut and everything. But hey, all the dots aren't connected. The law of gravity is wonderful. What is the purpose of the law of gravity? Why does the law of gravity exist? How does the law of gravity relate to the whole picture? And all the dots never go together to give you the whole picture. Not without God. No truth. Now, so here in verse 44, the end of the statement, because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of lies. Now hang on to that. Father of lies. Going over in verse 45, I must read it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you want the truth? Men love darkness rather than light. They don't want the truth. Don't want the truth. Why don't I truly want to enjoy? Why don't I enjoy being saved? Why don't I experience the joy of being saved? Saved? Why don't we do that? Because if I'm going to acknowledge that I am a saved believer, a believer that is saved by the grace of God, I am obligated, If I understand and say that, the practical reality that I'm saved, I'm obligated to act like I'm saved, to think like I'm saved, and to honor the God who is saving me, don't I? So I'm not going to talk about being saved. Personally, I'm not going to push it aside. Oh, I'm a believer, but I don't want to live like one, and therefore I don't acknowledge I'm a believer. I belong to God. We don't want to do that. And that's why you've got a problem in the churches everywhere. Because we're all sitting too many, TOO, and they all talk about it, but they don't want to be it. And therefore, who knows who is saved when you're all done? We don't know. Now, in the light of that, dear friends, over if you would please, in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say ye not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hath the devil? The devil. He's not God, not true. You can't be the truth, have the truth. And God has the truth and is the truth. Now the Jews didn't want to believe the truth. They didn't want the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Christ the Messiah, the Mashiach, Christ, I'm the truth. I'm the God of truth. I'm putting truth in front of you to see what is real. What is real? Like the pencil, all the way through. Look at my humanity and follow it through, and you'll find God. Consistently God. Now, having said that, over to Romans chapter 10. Now the Jews didn't want to acknowledge the truth. Why don't people want to acknowledge the truth? Because then you become obligated to it. Why do you want to? I believe the truth, I do, but I don't. It isn't practical in my daily life, because I don't want to have to be obedient to the truth. If it's true, then I need to do it, don't I? I can say it, but I don't need to do it. If I'm really going to be there, I got to watch. You'll see it. Romans chapter 10. Here's the Jewish heart, generally speaking, back then, and even today, all of us. Verse 2. For I bear them record, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, witness, that they have a zeal of God. They're very zealous, very sincere people, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Here they are, they have knowledge, and they're sincere, but it's not according to the knowledge. In verse 2, the word knowledge in verse 2 is the person, here's a person looking at the object. The person looking at the object knows the object and is influenced by the object. When I put a little word in front of that truth, it becomes intensive, as it were, to thoroughly, practically, wonderfully, in the fullest participation, the person looking at the object is fully participating in the object itself, enjoying it, exercising it, understanding it, knowledge, full knowledge, to participate in the truth. Knowledge. They don't have knowledge. According to knowledge, verse 2. They don't have that. They don't have according to knowledge, which is what they need to have. They need to do it with understanding. Understanding. They're ignorant. Ignorant. Ignorant is the word not know. The word know, and then put a not in front of it. Not knowing. Not understanding. Their own righteousness becomes self-righteousness. If you don't understand righteousness of God, then you're going to produce your own rightness. Whatever you think is right, that's what you're going to do. And you're going to read all the things and religions and everything else, and you're going to come up with what is truth, like Pontius Pilate. And you've got to come up with truth as you, according to what you think, what you feel, the truth is. But you don't make something true. What do you make true? You don't make anything true or real. If I put the pencil up again, you don't make lead, lead. Lead is either lead or it isn't. It's either true or not. You don't make something true at all. So they're ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of the truth. They don't have the truth. They are deceived. Self-deception. They have a self-righteousness. What is self-righteousness? That what I think is all right and is good enough. And what I think needs to be according to knowledge. According to knowledge. Knowledge, full knowledge, participation in knowledge. Well, you know all the different ways to do this. If you had a appointment and you did everything and you're going to go to the bus station or the train station or wherever it is, or the airport, and you're going to go there, and you're very sincere, you have a ticket, you're going to get a ticket in the one of those where you pick it up at the airport, and you're going to go there, and you're all encouraged to do what you do, and you happen to go there and get your ticket, as it were, electronic ticket, and you get it, and you find out the plane left an hour ago. It left an hour ago. Were you not sincere? Did you not get that ticket from the machine or whatever you do? Did you not get that? Were you not genuine? You have your suitcase, you everything. The trouble is, it wasn't according to truth. You missed the plane. You were sincere as can be. You were wrong. You're wrong. And that's true in a thousand different ways, isn't it? And thus when we come to considering the truth and looking at the truth, not according to knowledge, not according to knowledge. So what are we doing? We want to go the Gentile world, the Jewish world, have religions, or you could spend the next day or two looking at all the different religions. And the religions assume a lot, don't they? They assume a whole lot that isn't true. But we believe them. And we do that when it comes to God, man. God is what? God is all kinds of things. But is that God? What is sin? Sin is all kinds of things. But what is really sin? What is sin, you see? What is a person? What on earth is a person? Who are we? Why are we here? Why were we ever born on earth in the first place? What about time? What is the truth about time? What is the truth about judgment? What is the truth about eternity? What is the truth? And then you got all kinds of things, but it's not according to the truth. And if it isn't according to the truth, it's wrong. No matter how you feel, no matter how sincere you are, how dedicated you are, it's not according to the truth. It has to be according to the truth. And the truth will set you free. Otherwise, you are caught bound in the assumptions of all the assumptions we have about the most important things of our life. We assume this and assume that about time and destiny and where we're going and how well our body's doing and how we have a whole lot of assumptions we make. And they often are not according to the truth. Now, God, what have you known? God, what did you do? What is the truth? And remember now, in verse 3, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, which is self-righteousness, have not subjected themselves to something outside of themselves, the righteousness which comes of God, the righteousness which God produces. And Christ is the end, verse 4. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So, where is the righteousness? You've rejected the Jews, rejected Pilate, rejected Christ, the Messiah, the truth. He's full of grace and truth. And when you reject the truth, what are you left with? Zero. All kinds of information. Wonderful information. But it can't come together. It doesn't. The pieces of science and medicine and all the things that we have in millions of ways today by way of the internet and so on. Truth and facts and facts and facts and facts, but we can't put them together. They aren't a bunch of loose things. They're all together. The wind, the rain, the storm, the temperature, barometer, thermometer, they all go together. Call the weather. They all go together. But we can't put them together. Why do we have weather? Where did weather come from? Why do we have it? We've got to always end up, when we put the dots together, we come back to God. When we put all the pieces in the puzzle together, there's God. God. That's right. God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I sent my word, said the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what do you know? You know that God made you, in his image and likeness. God made you, made humans, very special. Image and likeness, just Genesis 1:26 and 27. Think of reflection of mirror and representation. To represent a person is to represent another. The person is to reflect another. God created man, remember. God is the source. And he created man. I was going to bring it, I didn't do it. Here's a mirror that make believe. God created man, so when he created man, different than all the animals, different than angels, different than everybody, he created humans. For what? So that when he looked at them, he would see himself. They would reflect and represent the wonderful person of God in all of his marvelous awesomeness. And they would reflect God. So when God sees them, he sees himself. The person is created for God to see himself. The person is created uniquely for the person to participate, to enjoy, to experience God personally. Wow. That's what it's all. Lord, what did you do? Why did you come? I came to show God so that everything I do and everything I say reflects God. Everything. I have no reason to do anything except it reflects God. I have no reason to say anything except it reflects God. When you see me, you see the Father. Do you understand? What is a person for? To be able to enjoy God. Not to be able to enjoy a hot dog or something, taste buds. To be able to enjoy as a person, the person of God, as no other creature can. To be able to enjoy God. To be able to what? For the God of truth. To be able to see truth in the heart of a believer. He saw it in his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is full of grace and truth. When God the Father looked at his Son, he saw himself. He saw himself. What did you do, Lord? I came to make it possible for you, for a human being, to be restored by redemption back to their original purpose, to show forth and enjoy God, to be able to tell the truth about God. How? By telling the truth about yourself. Why were you created? To tell the truth about God, not to tell a lie. Look it over, you aren't far away, over to Romans. Romans and chapter chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And you will notice this unique relationship is sin louses up, destroys the relationship. Verse 25, easy. Who changed humans living and living by and for themselves, self-righteousness, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They made, when humans, Cain, and all of them, they all line up, and they're telling a lie about God. They aren't telling the truth about God. They're lying about God. God is true, and man should be telling the truth about God, not a lie about him. Sin makes us lie about God. To have God something other than he is, for some other purpose than he is, and we lie about God. We lie. We do not the truth. You say, well, I don't lie. Are you telling the truth about God? You were created for God. You were created for God to show himself, so when he looked at your heart, he sees his son. When he sees his son, he sees himself. How can he see himself? In his son. He died to make it possible to restore to you, not by works, not by words. You can read the Bible to 4,000 years, and you'll never be saved. God made it possible for you to enter into the wonderful presence and person of being God, of being saved. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the truth. And without him, you can talk about the Bible, you can preach the Bible, you can teach the Bible. He is the truth. And you do not have the truth until you receive him as your Savior. He has to be here in the heart. And if he isn't in the heart, you aren't saved. He's the truth. So you can have all kinds of stuff and do all kinds of things and make your... But there's no truth in it. It's a lie. It's a falsehood. You have a knowledge. Your knowledge is based on ignorance. That isn't what God's for. God didn't come to get you a little ticket to heaven, be able to sit in church and do whatever, even rise to the high position of Pope or something else. That isn't what it's about. It's about making it possible for you to know God, for God to know you in a very personal way. And that's what adults need to do, is tell the truth about God. How am I going to tell the truth about God? I tell the truth about God by telling the truth about myself. I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to trust God as my personal Savior. I understand I am obligated to be saved. And if I'm saved, I need to act saved, live saved, think saved. Then I'm going to be able to be trusting God, to be God in my heart, in his fullest, most wonderful way. And I'm not going to help God be God, neither are you. God is going to help himself to you. That's like we're doing on Wednesday with sanctification. You aren't being set apart to tell God what to do. God is going to do what he wants with you. When you are sanctified, God will do what he wants. And that's why people don't want to be sanctified. Why? Because then I'm obligated. So now and then they might use the word, I'm sanctified and saved. But it isn't practical. And it isn't real. It's a make-believe. Ignorance. Not truth. It needs to be true. And if it isn't true, then it's false. It's false. Over, if you would, Romans chapter 5. And you'll notice, please, in chapter 5, and picking up, directly in verse 21 for illustration, God made it. God makes righteousness possible. The righteousness of God is necessary for life. You cannot have any life, capital L, that belongs to God, without being righteous. God provides righteousness in his Son. Thus, that's right. Is it true? It's right. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might Christ reign through, by means of righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how is grace going to reign? How is truth going to reign? Because of the rightness that God provides for us. The wonderful rightness to put things right, to make things right, to make it all work out in a right kind of way. To tell the truth about God, to tell the truth about God by telling the truth about ourselves. And thus, God, the God of truth, man, what's the purpose of a human being? To tell the truth about God. Why were you born on planet Earth? Why do you live? Why do you live in a world of turmoil and trouble? And etc. Because God puts you there. He doesn't, remember John 17, he didn't come to take you out of the world. He leaves you what? In the world to bear witness to the world. He didn't come to make monks and nuns. He came to put you right smack in the middle of the world. That's where you belong, to tell the truth about God, the wonderful truth about God. And there we need to be in the truth, so that as the persons look, they can see, well, here's a human being. Why was he born? He tells you the truth. God created me to enjoy and honor the Creator. God saved me so that I could be restored to the wonderful privilege that he intended, that he would see himself in me. So when God, like the Lord Jesus will say, when you see me, you see the Father. And if you've seen me, you've already seen the Father. You've already seen him. See? So when you look at a believer, a sinner saved by grace, there's God's grace. There's the truth that God is able to save a sinner. God is able to save a sinner. See, they're saved. They're saved, set apart for God's wonderful, wonderful purpose and plan. Therefore, looking to God, trusting God. Therefore, looking that God would go and do a wonderful work in our heart, and the thing that you want to keep in mind, the explanation for your being a person, being the special person that you are, if you're saved and sanctified, set apart for God. So you're going to trust God with all your heart. And as you do that, you trust God with all your heart. The only explanation for your life, the way you live, you handle problems, fear, disaster, depression, repression, stress, distress. You handle the world. You handle your old nature, your heart, and your world you live in. Pilate says, what is truth? The Jews say, we don't need to have that righteousness which the Messiah, the Christ, provides. We can provide it ourselves. We'll do everything. But you can't do it. God does it for you in Christ. When you receive him as your Savior, he himself is truth. And he himself sets you free. He himself, so that you're no more finding other saviors, other gods, other religions, other systems, other solutions. It's God. God alone. He said, I'm the only God. Isaiah 43. I'm the only Savior. There is no other. And here we are down here trying to find all our solutions. God said, there isn't any. I'm the only one. Did anyone pay attention? I'm the only God. I'm the only Savior. I made it possible for you to be saved. I made it possible for you to know the wonderful privilege. I made it possible for you to have authority to be a believer. A wonderful, wonderful authority. So that I am what I am, you are what you are, you do what you do. And I have authority to be a believer. I have authority to be believing. I have authority to live and honor God, to eat and drink to the glory of God. I have authority to believe. I have authority to live. I have authority to die. I have authority. Where'd you get that? From God. All I'm doing is allowing God to be who he is. And as we do that, then it happens. It outworks itself in a most wonderful way, a most awesome way, if you would. And so looking at this, and the only explanation again is that God, it's God. It's because of God. Do you remember? You don't have to do it all the time. If you looked at Galatians 1, 15, 16, 24, Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. And because when he did that, Galatians 1, 24, the world is going to look, 1, 24, and they're going to say, of Paul, Saul the persecutor, Paul the apostle to be, of a truth, God is in you. Not God is about you. God is in you. It's about God being in you. Allowing God to be God in his wonderful presence to abide, in his wonderful presence and rest, and to allow him to be all that he would have us to be in a most wonderful way. Thus, in the light of God's wonderful person, his wonderful saving grace, he's able to go and help us to the nth degree. And if I may, over, if you would, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Truth is a person. God is truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know God. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ like the pencil and follow it all the way, you'll always find it the same. God, 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 all the way into forever. So when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe he isn't just in his wonderful humanity, he provides his saving grace so that I can know his wonderful deity, so that I can know his life. And God is able to come into the believing heart and save them. And when God comes into the believing heart and saves them, they begin eternal life. And eternal life should not perish but have everlasting life. And they live and they begin eternal life. And eternal life, when is eternal life interrupted? When is eternal life ever interrupted? You follow the pencil, God, all the way into forever. And it never ends. He's true. The true God, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know you, the true, that's right. That's what it's all about. I thought it was about a whole lot of things. No, I do science and you do all these different things. I learned this discovery of this law and that law. This formula and that formula, that's good, all well and good. 1 John chapter 5. John again will say it to us. In 1 John chapter 5, picking up please, in verse 20, 1 John. And we know that the Son of God is come, Word become flesh, and hath given us an understanding, so that we know, he came so that we would know the truth, an understanding, that purpose, that we may know him, that's right, who is true, the true God, to know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see? That isn't so hard, is it? It's a wonderful person of God. And to rest in that. And to learn to do that. A wonderful relationship to God. God's wonderful person. And thus, dear friend, is not Pontius Pilate's question answered? What is the truth? Who knows the truth? The believing heart knows the truth. The believing heart enjoys the truth. The truth will set you free. Free from all of that that is false. All of that that isn't true about yourself, about your world, about your family, about your health, about others. All the stuff that isn't true. You think it's true, You think it is? God sets us free so we know the truth, so we can handle all of life's inaccuracies, all of life's assumptions, and that we don't kid ourselves and trick ourselves into make-believe, to know the truth. I am full of grace and truth, he said, so that you can know the truth. The truth. I am the God of truth. I am the same all the way through. I want you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How about if I leave you out and I'll talk about it? You'll never know the truth. Truth is a relationship to God. And it's real. And the relationship lasts all the way into forever. Truth. Not religion. Not church going. Truth. Truth. We are to be custodians of the truth of God. I wish I could help you better. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy. God, we want to be sinners saved by grace. We want to be full of truth, full of yourself, allowing you, the truth that belongs to you, Lord, abiding in our heart, so that when we speak of you, we speak of the truth. When we speak of your word, we speak of the truth. We are seeking to honor and allow you to express yourself in the hard things, the easy things, the much, the little, growing up, going to school, struggling through all kinds of things and all kinds of conditions and circumstances that are very difficult, to say the least. But God, in the midst of all of it, we abide, we're to abide in the truth. And the truth will set us free from all the things that aren't connected, all the things that seem to badger and bully and burden our life, bother our life. God, truth, to set us free so that we're able to move forward in a wonderful way, submitting ourselves to the righteousness which you give in the person of your Son, so that we can look to you, God, in our righteousness, which is really yours. We're trusting your righteousness so that we can understand and enjoy that which is right. And thus we can enjoy the truth, the reality, the real, real, real you. To live in a real, real time, to live in the real time in which we live. God, here we are to be possessors of the truth. As you would tell the truth about us, and we believe, we tell the truth about you and believe. God, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, help us, each one. God, help us. It's such an awesome, wonderful God. It's not unbelievable, God. It's just so unbelievable, it's hard to believe it. It's impossible, but you've made it possible, God. You've made the impossible possible. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, if we could change a little bit, to 348. 348, if we could. 348.